So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going from here and then into Romans chapter 6, and then we'll head back over into 14 of John. So we'll do all this in 5 minutes. I'm only kidding. I just wanted to start here because we are having communion, and again, it's in the Gospels, but here we see it when Paul is writing to the Corinthians church. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So Paul here is letting this church know, he's letting us know that this is in remembrance of him as we take the cup, as we take the bread, his body broken, the blood he shed for us. One other thing you look in here, you have to realize that Jesus took this cup. He took the cup of wrath for us. You have to remember that. There is a cup of wrath that's waiting for those unbelievers in the book of Revelation, that they're going to experience a cup of wrath. Anyone who doesn't receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, anyone who is not born again, who, if you want to call it saved. I'm really specific when I share with somebody anymore, because I just don't say, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Have you received him?" My little girl, Grace, she doesn't take the first answer. Are you a Christian? Or, you know, do you know Jesus? She'll say, "Have you received him in your heart?" She wants to know that they've received him. If they don't know about receiving Jesus, they don't know about being born again. So, but that's the peace that we get when we're born again. We get an incredible peace. Anybody that's born again, anybody who got saved, has a peace of God in them. And one of the things, the reason for this is because what happens when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior? We receive the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that makes us righteous before the world. And they see that. The world sees that. That's why sometimes when you might be about your business, somebody might come up and say, "What's different about you?" They might get to know you a little bit. And they, you know, that's because you're letting your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They know that there's something. They don't know what it is. They actually sometimes want what you have, but they don't know how to get it. And sometimes what we do is we don't share our faith. We're just not transparent. We're not sincere with the Lord. We're sometimes that fear comes in. You know what happens when that fear comes in? When you look at fear that it talks about scripturally, the fear that will, it's a snare. That fear will turn you upside down and have you hanging. That's how God doesn't want us to live in that fear. He wants us to be sincere in our faith and be able to share it in a way that it represents Him in all righteousness. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You have to remember, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, we become righteous. It's not our righteousness. And you don't have to be fearful of what anybody will say or whatever anybody will do. There's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. You can boldly speak the Word of God, and you can speak it in grace. You can speak it in love. But please speak it. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. So any man that is born again and has the Holy Spirit, you become a servant of righteousness. That sinful way it should be gone. It shouldn't be even spoke of. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Think about this. We have enough to deal with in the world and what's going on than to deal with the flesh that we can do something over. Right? We can, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can overcome the flesh. We have to deal with the Spirit too. We war against this flesh that we have, but we also are in a spiritual battle. You have to remember that. We have a spiritual battle going on. And that robs our peace, doesn't it? I mean, I have got waylaid sometimes. I don't know about you. I'm sure you have. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. See, the Holy Spirit, this is beautiful, because when we look at God's perfect order, we look at the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit always do? The Holy Spirit will always point you to Jesus Christ, won't He? Always. And Jesus will always point you to the Father. So as Jesus is our peace, that Holy Spirit is always pointing us and pointing, and when we're speaking about Jesus, that should be coming from the Holy Spirit is nudging us, is working in us to point people to Jesus, to point people to heaven, to get the peace that passes all understanding. Does not, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there's been times where, you know, unsaved people would get angry and they would say, well, how can you not be angry about that? How can you go through this without being upset? Because they don't have the peace that passes all understanding. It only comes by being born again. It only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you. Now, when you quench the Holy Spirit as a Christian, you'll lose your peace. You won't lose the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't say, I'm leaving. I'm done with you. How did the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit would come upon a man to empower him for the work of the ministry, wouldn't he? Come upon a man. Samson didn't even know it departed from him. How does it work now? It's in us. God says that I'm going to dwell. I'm not going to dwell in, you know, I'm sure when Pastor Fred walked into the building this morning, he opened it up and said, hey, Pastor Fred, Holy Spirit, right? I'm waiting for you. No, he brought the Holy Spirit in with him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Waiting to hear from God. We came waiting and willing to hear from God and what God had to say. And it's all in His Word. We were yet servants of sin. What fruit had ye then in those things wherefore ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, what? Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our peace. That is a gift. I remind our body many times, and I'm going to remind you guys, think about it. If you're born again and you're here today, you are one of the most blessed people on the face of the planet, because you got to remember that only many will be led to destruction and only few will enter in. Narrow is the road, broad is the gate, right? I mean, there's a broad way that the world is taking. You should be incredibly blessed. Incredibly blessed. You are the very minute. Do your own survey. Go out and start sharing the gospel. I challenge every one of you. Go out and start sharing the gospel and see how many people know Jesus. And you're going to be going like, oh my goodness. 1 out of 100? 1 out of 1,000? I remember once I was out in the streets for a long time and I was getting so discouraged. I'm like, I haven't prayed the sinner's prayer with anybody yet. I was getting discouraged, you know. Week after week, month after month, and it's like, you know, nobody wanted to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Start going to churches and just finding, you know, I said, I'm going to start checking out churches and seeing what's going on in these churches. And you find out that even the church. So, be blessed. Be incredibly blessed. Be so thankful that you, maybe your whole family is saved. Turn to John and we'll finish up there. As John 14, I think you guys are probably all there, right? All right. In chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That talks about an advocate here. He's actually going to not only advocate, he's going to console. He's going to minister. Even the Spirit of Truth, this is, I think Bruce went over some of this. "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And that talks about being filled. He's going to dwell in you. He's going to fill you. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And the day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him," and it will be revealed. "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And you see the beautiful picture of the Trinity there, where you have the Father and Son and the Holy. You see, that's the beautiful thing. You have to remember right now, the Holy Spirit is working in each one of us. And I pray for the spirit of conviction for each one of us, because I know each one of us needs conviction in our lives to be able to go out and do what we have to do. Conviction is good. I love conviction, because you know what? Conviction changes me. Conviction... I have sin. We all have sin that we have to deal with. And thank God for conviction. And Jesus, to be able to call upon the name of the Lord and to know that Jesus in glory is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for me, that's huge. And he's doing it for you too. Right? And the Father, what does the Father do? He's looking upon us right now. Jesus is praying for us. I don't want to take a sidebar, but you probably heard the saying that, I believe it goes that, we're too heavenly minded to be too earthly good, or to do the earthly good things. And I think I understand that. I think it's backwards. Amen. I really do. I mean, everybody's doing all this work. They're saying all these things. They're writing all these books. All of this stuff. But what are they doing? Are they looking towards heaven? Do they even have any understanding of the scriptures about heaven and the glory of heaven and what we have to look forward to, and that it's for us, born-again believers? That it's a blessing? Are they busy doing everything else in their churches and their communities and not sitting with the Lord? What's more needful? We can see what has happened in the churches, in many of the churches right now, that which way they're going. And it's really sad. It should sadden your heart. It should grieve your heart of what's going on out there, of what's being accepted and what is being put out in the books and everything else. And that's the church. We would expect it from the world, right? You wouldn't expect it from the church. Do you think they're peaced out? Do you think they have the peace that passes all understanding? If they're not born again, they don't. And they're not going to. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I had said to you. So we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, being able to take this book as we read it, and we have an understanding of it. I remember before I was born again reading through this, and but being born again, I've started looking at the scriptures, and I actually started understanding it. And then when I would read over a chapter again and a chapter again, it was brand new. I don't know if you've done that, but start doing that. Start reading over a chapter, and I'll bet you every day if you read that same chapter for 10 days, you'll get something out of it, and it'll be brand new to you. And you know what? You won't even get sick of reading it. You'll be looking forward to the next day what that same chapter is going to... Now, what other book does that? There's no other book that'll do that. It's only the Bible. That's why I love it so much. I hope you love it. You should be loving the Word of God. So that being said, why is the ushers... Do we have ushers come up for communion? No. How about you, Fred? Pastor Eric? How many? Something. I was blessed with what Jeff said with David, because David, I can relate to that, because there's been times I've gotten tired over the years, and you're on the front line for so long. And it's like, Lord, when am I going to get off the front lines and get a break? And God says, you're not. You're going to stay there till you die. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine, I guess. I remember Dave Hunt one time, I said to him at a conference, we got back from India, and we were beat up pretty bad. And I said to him, we always called him Papa Bible. So I said to him, Dave, when, and he was busy, he was writing books, he was just going from conference to conference, and I said, when do you rest? I said, God has shown me to rest, you know, at this time. And he looks at me, he said, young man, he said, there's no time to rest. He said, these are the last days. That was the last time I ever talked to him. I mean, he's with the Lord right now, but wow. He's resting. He's resting in an incredible way. But, so, when David, what happened when David took a little sabbatical and got off the front lines? He got in trouble. It's a good thing to be on the front lines. Whether you're on the front lines and you're a pastor of the church, whether you're an elder, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a man of God and you're in your household with your wife, your kids, or a brother or sister, that whatever. You just be that man of God. I remember before I was a pastor, I got more opportunities to share because, you know, people would expect you to do the right thing or to share with them. You know, they used to say when I wasn't a pastor, they'd say, well, what are you, a pastor? And I'm like, who, me? You got to be kidding. And I would be able to share with them. I used to tell them, I said, I'm just the guy who loves Jesus. That was what I used to tell them. And I can still tell them that, but sometimes they know who you are, you know, whatever, but... And I still try to tell them that I'm just a guy, you know, who loves Jesus. But if they ask, I got to tell the truth, because then if I lie, then I got to repent, and it's not a good thing, you know. And then if they find out I'm a pastor and he's a lying pastor, right? That's not good either. But we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we won't be perfect until we're there. So praise the Lord. I can't wait to get there. I think it's coming soon. I can't wait. I hope you guys can't wait. It won't be long. Jesus is coming soon. I remember my friend Pastor Tony. I remember he came down to visit me a couple years ago, and he said, "I said, Pastor Tony, I said, I don't know how long. It's got to happen pretty quick. How much worse can it get out there? How much worse can the world get?" And he said, oh, wait. He says, wait, it's still going to get worse. And he has. Look what happened in the last couple of years, right? So anytime the Lord can come, right? So we need to be ready. We need to be vigilant. Please, be on the front line. You know, if you're here supporting your pastors and or you're going back and you have your pastors and you just want to come alongside them, you want to be on the front line. They get tired sometimes. They get weary. They want to throw their hands up in the air and say, see ya. And that's truthful. And you know what that is? That's the flesh. That's the world beaten down. That's the enemy coming in. And you know what? You probably feel the same thing. Hey, pastor, see you later. Right? I don't want to serve anymore. Right? That's just what the enemy wants. We're in a battle. We're in a real battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And, you know, we come before the Lord right now in communion. We remember His death and resurrection. He gave us a precious gift of eternal life. So what do we have to endure for 100 years down here? So we have to endure for 100 years. So we have to kind of take the punches and do the right thing. And, you know, we have eternity. Do you really believe that we have eternity? I hope you do. I hope heaven is real to you. Satan has done a really good job with works and everything else. Is heaven real to you? I challenge you. Look, you know, see what the oh my. See what? That's right. This it's time for a new one, anyways. See what God has for you. See what God wants to show you about heaven. See what it is about getting a new name, a new body. He makes an abode for you. We'll be known as we are known. We'll have fellowship. Just think about sitting down with Noah for about 100 years and just hanging out with him for 100 years. And then going down the road and saying, hey, Abraham, what's happening? You know? You'll have eternity to do this. And not too many people get there. Even though the Bible says, you know, there's going to be maybe hundreds and millions of people there, right? But it's still going to be few from how many people have been born and died already. Few. So, praise the Lord. Father, we humbly come before you, Lord, and we do want to remember, Father, your death, Father, and the resurrection. And Lord, it's a gift, Father. You've given us the most precious gift that we could ever cherish, Lord. And we do cherish it, Lord. I pray this morning too, Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here who have not ever received you as Lord and Savior, Father, that they would right now, Lord, you tell us that, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, Lord. Father, that you would release them, Lord, that they would just come unto you, Lord, if they're filled with sin and iniquity, Lord, that you would take that from them, Lord, that they would cast it onto your feet, Father. Ask for forgiveness, Lord, and call upon your name, Lord Jesus, and embrace you, Lord, and get to know you, Lord. For all of us, Lord, we ask sincerely, Father, we do, Lord. We just want more of you, Lord. We need more of you, Father. We need that power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, working in and through us, Lord. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we need to, Lord, would you remove right now, Father, I ask, Lord, in your name, Lord Jesus, and would you remove any of the apathy, Lord, any of the doubt, Lord, that we might have, Father. Lord, that you would free us, Lord, from any sin, any guilt or any shame, Father, that we've been harboring, Lord, that has been hindering us, Lord Jesus, that's been hindering us, Father. Would you do that now, Lord? We call upon your name, Lord, because we can. You ask us, Lord. You tell us, Father. It's the power of, it's the Holy Spirit power, Lord. It's your name, Lord Jesus. And we love you, Lord. We ask, Lord, would you pour into us right now, Lord? We remember you, Lord, for the wonderful gift that you've given us, Lord. And Father, we know that your storehouse is full in glory, Father. And I pray right now, Lord, for any man desiring any gift, Father, that they have been wanting, Lord, that they've been needing, Lord, for the work of the ministry, Lord, would you Would you just bestow that upon them now, Lord Jesus? Would you just pour it out, Father, from heaven, Lord? Let them receive it, Lord. Let them receive it by faith, Father. Open up our hearts to believe, Lord Jesus. We're grateful and thankful to you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord. So as we receive, Lord, as we remember you, Lord, we remember as your body was broken for us, Lord, and your blood that was shed to take away the sin of the world, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for taking away our sin, Lord. You're casting it as far as the east is from the west, Lord. You died for our sins yesterday, today, and forever. You gave us that promise, Lord. We're your sons, Lord. You love us, Father. There's nothing that'll snatch us from your hand, Lord. You hold us. We pray, Father, that you would hold us tight, Lord. So as we partake, Lord, we honor you and thank you, Lord, for all that you do. I just want to ask now if there's any, if anybody wants to have a, I want to pray for you. If there's anybody that just wants a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, please just stand up. I just want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, as we all just stand before your face, Lord, before your throne of grace, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've made it a throne of grace, that we can come boldly before it, Lord. And we know, Lord Jesus, in glory, as you see us now, Lord, your sons, who you love so desperately, Lord, you gave your life that we may live. That we may have eternal life, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, for all of us, Lord, for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Would you fall afresh on us now, Lord Jesus? Do what you need to do, Lord, because we can't do it. Father, we cry out to you, Lord. You can't do it. You have to do it. We ask for your leading and guidance in our lives. We ask for our wives, Lord, would you bless them, Lord? Our children, Father, keep them strong and protect them, Lord. Those who we work with, Lord, that you would minister to them through us, Lord, and through your word and through our countenance, Father, through our light that would so shine before them, Lord, that they would honor you, Father. And give us the ability, Lord. Give us the strength, Father, and give us the knowledge and the wisdom, Lord, that we need to continue, Lord, the good fight, Father. Lord, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places, Lord. And sometimes it's overwhelming, Lord, but greater are you that's in us, Lord.
Amen.
Greater is you, Lord, and you're in us, Lord. And we ask, Father, would you fill us to overflowing, Father? That when we leave this place, Father, that we would be overflowing to all who we see tomorrow, Lord, in our churches, Father, in our communities, Lord, and to our families, Father, to our children, Lord, to our wives, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you now, Lord. Give our hearts to you, Lord. Ask you to lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do, Father. We are grateful to you, Lord. So grateful. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Remain standing. Jesus blessed and broke the bread. Then he blessed the cup of wine. His broken body, blood he shed. For the world and for all time. This is the body. This is the blood. This is the body. This is the blood. Take and remember me. Take and remember me. The body and the blood I give to you in love. Remember me. Jesus blessed and broke the bread. Then he blessed the cup of wine. His broken body, blood he shed. For the world and for all time. This is the body. This is the blood. This is the body. This is the blood. Take and remember me. Take and remember me. The body and the blood I give to you in love. Remember me. The body and the blood. The body and the blood I give to you in love. Remember me. Amen.
Fred, do we have time for the last song, or do you just want to cut it off here? Okay, so it's going to, I was informed it's going to take about a minute to pull it up. So the last thing we're going to do is I have decided to follow Jesus. But I, real fast, I just want to tell you, that song is Holy Spirit inspired, truly, right? So, of course, he got it. He got it. All right. So real fast, it was a missionary who wrote the song. And his mission trip sent him and his family to India. And this chief in this tribal area, said to this man, he said, if you do not deny this man God that you call Jesus, I'm going to kill your son. And the man said, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And sure enough, the tribal chief had his oldest son killed. Then he said, if you do not deny this God that you proclaim and profess, I'm going to kill your youngest son. And he said, though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And his youngest son had his head decapitated. And the same with his wife. He said, if you do not deny this Jesus that you proclaim to be God, I'm going to take your wife's life. And sure enough, he killed her. And the man said, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And lastly, he said, this is it. You deny him or now I take your life. And he said, the world behind me and the cross before me, there's no turning back. There's no turning back, and that's for all of us. There's no turning back, right?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I had decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.